Hey there, everyone. What's up? My name is Jessica. I go by Joss Speaks Digital, as you all know. Welcome to the Joss Speaks Digital podcast. We have another amazing podcaster who's going to be a part of our series of Why I Started a Podcast. She's going to be talking to us about why she started a podcast. She also has a community around podcasting and all that good stuff. In and tell us everything about you and your podcasting sphere, because you have like a whole universe going on around you.
Thank you so much, Jess. I'm so excited to be here. I love what you do, and I'm so honored that you asked me to be here. But yes, so my name is Denise Durant, and I have a community. It's called Podcasters of New Jersey. I'm a Jersey girl. You could kind of hear the accent a little bit, right? I'm just kidding. But yeah, Podcasters of New Jersey, it started off as a meetup, and now it's become an incubator. So I have that. And then from that, I started podcasting again, which again, prior to starting my meetup that became an incubator, I was doing background, pretty much operations for an internet radio station for about 5 to 6 years called the Love Zone USA. So I've been doing podcasts for quite some time, but I was in the background for quite some time. So let me tell you a little bit why I started my podcast. So I started my podcast, and it's called Pod Cypher and Podcasters Unlimited. And those are the two podcasts that I currently have. I started with one of my co-hosts. Her name is Ann Smith. And we started Pod Cypher last year, I would say May. And we started our podcast because both of us work for the internet radio station. She was an assistant producer and I did operations, and things slowed down. Unfortunately, our mentor, who was the owner, just suddenly passed last February. It will be a year. So him passing away, of seeing that a lot of the girls who we did production with, they were acting, some were doing other radio gigs, and things just kind of split up. So we wanted to find a space for ourselves to use our voice. So we started the incubator, which I mentioned, Podcasters in New Jersey, started as a meetup. And then we're like, you know what? We have all this good stuff that we're doing. Here comes COVID. Let's just keep it going. We started doing it on IG. And we did it on IG. And we said, you know what? Let's take that content from Instagram and turn it into a podcast. So Podcasters Unlimited is the name of our podcast. It's based on our meetup. And it's the same name as our podcast network. So that's how we started. We said, you know what? Our mentor passed away. We are not doing podcasting anymore. We're not doing internet radio anymore. And we need to do something because life is too short. And that's how that started. Then Pod Cypher came about because we did the how-to podcasting and we had the network, but tragically, there was just so much going on with what happened with George Floyd, BLM, Breonna. It was just an excessive amount of issues that were affecting the Black and Brown community. You know, I myself, I'm an Afro-Caribbean woman, Dominican descent. So being from New Jersey, I saw just so much division, just so much talk about race and inequality. And Anne and myself, who actually is president of Podcasters Unlimited and has been riding with me, shout out to Anne, she's the best. We were like, we need to do something. So we're like, you know what? I want to do a cypher of conversations with podcasters. I said, okay, let's call it Pod Cypher. And that began our journey. So in Pod Cypher, we actually just talk to different podcasters about social justice, current events, and pop culture. And we kind of mix it in because a lot of times we know that podcasters have niche shows. They might have business, they might have tech shows or even audio dramas, and they're not able to talk about pressing issues. So our first show was based on the George Floyd reactions and media coverage of what happened. So it was very heavy. I was very angry. I know that's how I felt. And, you know, she had her emotions and that's how I started it. But my journey hasn't been easy because, like I said, I was on an internet radio station called the Love Zone USA, and I worked doing that from 2013 to about 2018. And, you know, we made some money, we had some ads, but when you are working with a group of people and everybody has so many things going on, if we're not all on the same track, things kind of start to gear to the left, to the right. And a lot of them had their own plans and goals. And I think once, you know, our mentor passed away 6 months after we kind of stopped doing the show, Anne and myself was like, you know what? We've been in the background too long. Let's just go forward with it. And it's going to be 2 years that I have Podcasters New Jersey. It became an incubator, started off as a meetup in a restaurant. And then I was asked to host it in Rutgers University. I'm not sure if you guys heard of Rutgers University in New Jersey. It's a big, you know, university. I was hosting it in Rutgers University at the Audible building at a venture capitalist floor. And someone asked me like, hey, come through. You're bringing communities to New Jersey. Everything's about New York. And, you know, his name is Anthony Frazier. Shout out to him. He's an amazing podcaster as well. He has his own podcast. podcast network called ABF Creative. And he asked me to host in an Audible building at Newark Venture Capitalist. And I was like, yes, I will do it. And that started me building the community. That started me just getting to know people. And then when COVID happened, like I said, we did it digitally online. And then we transmuted that to the podcast sphere. So we host that podcast is once a month, which actually tonight we have our meetup. I don't know when this is going to air, but this is tonight. Yes, we're doing it tonight. And we're going to be talking about business 101. We're going to have a lawyer speaking about copyright, LLCs, trademarks, because it's important for podcasters wherever you are in your journey to understand that you are a brand or a business. If that's what you want, we have someone who speaks to that. Prior to all of that, I started doing internet radio in 2011, and I was a host for 2 years. And we did like indie songs, skits, comedy skits, different type of things. And then I started doing the back end because I wanted to know how to run an internet radio station, how to do time slot, what's a pre-roll, mid-roll, post-roll. So I learned a lot working with Michael Thomas before he passed. But yeah, I mean, the only thing I could tell people is that this is a long game journey. And right now I'm at the moment where I'm starting to see the fruits of my labor, because giving, right? A lot of times you want instant gratification. You have to give and build relationships. I built a relationship with Anthony, you know, from that I hosted I think it was in 2019, it was a topic. So we would have these topics, and I hosted this topic conversation, which was from TV to podcast or to streaming about 2.5 years ago, when the podcast and TV wasn't like, it was there, but it wasn't as booming now, right? And I actually, you know, knew this person. His name is Rashidi Hendricks, and he was a friend of my boyfriend's, and we've known him for a while, and he was in TV. We hosted that. And from that, you know, relationship, I started doing my own network, my podcast, fast forward, and I'm working with him now. And he has an own production company and talent management company to turn scripted podcasts into television. So if I would have never had that, right, that topic conversation, known those people and nurtured the relationship, I wouldn't be in the position now of learning what to do and learning television and doing development executive stuff. Like I said, you know, the money does come, but you have to be patient. You have to make sure that you're really gearing yourself to really build community in the proper way. I was just telling Jess before we start our interview, we're gearing up to do a membership for our podcast in New Jersey, which we have about 400 people on our Facebook group that we've engaged. Last year, I didn't have that. I had 50 people, members on my page, spam, a whole bunch of people just promoting this stuff. And then my boyfriend who does social media, he's like, listen, you want to grow your page, you have to do this. And less than a year, I grew it to almost 400. And I started, you know, posting promo Mondays, engaging, asking questions. So it's about what you give. And, you know, that's been pretty much my podcast journey, just growing, learning relationships. And I think within the next year, I'm starting to see some monetization little by little in consulting. I'm starting to see different relationships, and I'm starting to really see that now. But it wasn't easy because I was doing the work for 5 years with someone else. And when I started doing something for myself and my partner, now I see the difference. And not that I didn't want to be part of that, but it's a different experience when you hone in on what you need to do for podcasting. And I think that podcasting gives you that confidence to just have your voice and do what you need to. And, you know, it's okay building a team. It's okay partnering, as long as everybody's aligned in the same mission and you respect people's individual goals, because everybody wants to do a lot and you have to respect what they want to do. And I think that's one thing I learned the most being on the Love Zone USA, is that you can't force anybody to do something that they don't want to do. That was a lot.
Yeah, facts. No, but all of it is facts. So my second question to you is, what impact do you hope your podcast has on the world or in the world?
I would say that I didn't say that earlier. I am a person who likes to do a lot within the community, and I'm actually in graduate school throughout this journey. I've been doing graduate school for the last 3 years, and it's been difficult. My son was under one. Now he's 3. I breastfed for 27 months during the whole thing. It was a mess. But at the same time, what it taught me was doing social work and working in the community is that your voice matters, and what you have to say and what you need to stand up for is important, because you might not get a chance to. So with PodCypher, what I wanted to impact, I want people to understand that it is okay to know about politics. It is okay to want to know who's your local community leaders. It is okay to want to talk about what percentage of taxes that you are paying on your mortgage is going to your school district. What percentage is going to public servants in a township, like policemen, like firemen. It is okay to, you know, talk about different celebrities and different things and be relatable to it. It is okay to express how you feel about certain things. I think that right now the culture is so sensitive that any little mistake that you make, people are willing to crucify you. And I do think that some of it is for me in my culture, in the Caribbean culture, and especially being a woman, you're not allowed to, not that you're not allowed to make mistakes, but you have to be in your best behavior. And we have to work twice or three times as hard as other ethnicities and other people, being Black women, being Caribbean, Afro women. And we are not okay to say, I'm vulnerable. Hey, I need help. Hey, I'm crying. I just cried right before this interview, girl. You don't want to say that because image is everything. And I think it's a cultural thing. And I think now, yes, right, that combination of the cultural and now with the instant gratification of social media and the excessive perfection, you don't want to be honest because you feel like your honesty is not valued. It's not currency. You know what it is like, what's it called? IG pimping or whatever. I don't even know. I don't even know what the saying is, but look, you're not. Right. You know what I mean? IG pimping.
I have a whole thing about, I call them marketing pimps. They're the people that tell you what you want to hear and make you believe that it's all for you and you're doing it for you. But really, truthfully, it's all for them. It's yes. all for them to gain. You don't gain anything. Right?
Yeah.
It really is like the way that they talk to you, right? You're all game for it because they say the right things. Yes. They make you feel a certain way. And then you're like, yes.
Psychological. And then you start,
yes. It's all psychological. They all get into your head. And really, truthfully, it's all for their benefit, not yours. It's a segue to my next question about Alexa and how you use Alexa to get in front of your audience. So not in alignment with pimping, but how do you speak to your audience in an authentic way, in a real way, and connect with more people? And Alexa is a great way to do that. And you guys have taught me how to utilize it and build a skill, which I'm working on trying to do one where I can get paid for it. So I was like, okay, now I know that. Now I need to get the one to get paid for. So can you talk a little bit about that?
I got into the voice space in 2019 when I actually met Noel and Monique. I've known them for almost 2 years now. I heard about voice and, you know, my boyfriend was like, hey, there's this voice summit here in NJIT in New Jersey. You have to go. I was like, I don't really. He's like, come on, just. So I had to pitch. I had to come up with a pitch before 5 p.m. to correlate it to podcasting. So I did my research. Wow. I submitted this pretty much talk about voice relation into podcasting. And I was so impressed how much research and how little people knew, but how young the market was and still is. So I went to the event. I was there and I'm like talking and, you know, the class was starting late and some lady's like, oh, the class is starting late, right? Isn't that weird? I was like, oh, no, it's okay. I'm okay. And it happened to be Noelle and she was teaching the class. So I'm lucky that I didn't say anything that was offensive. I was like, oh, I don't care. I have time. And then Noelle, I went to this class. I had no idea about voice flow, nothing. And she taught it. And I was still like, what is this? This is complicated. And then Monique was there and she was like, oh, this and that. And, you know, Monique lives in Louisiana and Noelle's out in Maryland. So it was interesting for us to meet. Yeah. And we met and then we always stayed in contact. We would talk a lot, you know, after that. And, you know, when they, anytime they had to come over here, it was hard to contact, especially now with COVID. So they kind of nurtured me through that. I was still hard-headed. I was like, okay, I know this, I know that, but I'm not techie, but I'm not like that. So COVID happens and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get into it. My boyfriend buys me a Echo in the summer. So I started looking into it and I started telling him, I was like, you know what? I need to learn. And what started kind of clicking with me was that if I am preaching something and I am not doing it, even though I know, and I know that I could use it and I wrote a whole little pitch about it, I've used it, but if I am not truly integrating myself with it, how could I really be authentic and speak to my community? So I got the Alexa. Now we're all filled with Alexa all over the house. And I started doing the flash briefing. So what I started to do was, okay, promote in and on my Facebook. Sometimes on my Instagram, I'm more on my Facebook than my Instagram because one of the girls who are on my team, her name is Brianna. She's amazing. She works the IG, but the Facebook group is the more engaging part because it's a group, right? So I started promoting them, saying, hey guys, this is voice. Hey, if anybody wants to be featured on the flash briefing, let me know. Hey, I have an article. And that's what I started to do, getting in front of them, letting them know that I'm using it. This is the community that I'm using flash briefing. I'm putting you on there. If you want to be on there, email me. Here's a survey. So I did like an email list to get people on my email list and do like an uptake. And I asked about voice. Say, how many people are familiar with voice? How many people don't know about voice? So I got maybe like 20, 25 up new emails and most people were like, yeah, no, what do you use it for? To music. So now I have an idea of how to approach it. And this is recently, I looked at this 2 days ago. So I'm using flash briefings to try to do it weekly. I want to do it every day. I do, but it's hard. I'm using flash briefings for me as a guinea pig to learn more and more and more. And then to tell them, hey, it's okay. I messed up. Hey, look, I did something wrong. Hey, I did this, but here it is. Use it. You can use it. And I've seen some people use it, but it's very hard to get visibility on flash briefing because it's still very, very early, believe it or not.
So you're using it as a almost a case study. You're using yourself as a case study to put out there to your audience or to your community so that your community can start to dive into it. That's a great idea.
And that's what I'm doing because I feel like a lot of people get scared when you say invoking, when you say things like decoder, when you say words of that type that people that don't know, like myself, you know, I speak to Noelle and Monique and they have all these terminologies that can be, you know, very intimidating, but that's their lingo and that's the things that they know. And then I come in with the content piece. Okay, you know what? Let me make sure that I say, hey guys, welcome to the highlight of the week. I'm highlighting this person's podcast. Make sure to check them out here, here, here. If you wanted more updates, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's the easiest way for podcasters and people who are in the digital space but are not professionally coders or, you know, kind of wired in that type of way. And that's what I'm doing, pretty much using myself to show them that it is possible. And I'm seeing that a lot of them know it exists, but they are not really familiar with the usage of it.
Yeah. And so it's so funny, after I like got my skill up, did all that good stuff, I did a podcast interview and he put me out there, of course, you know, published it. And so I went on to Alexa on my phone because you guys show us how to do the app and everything. And I just got my Echo like 7 days ago, right? So I finally got it. And so I'm like, play Joss Speaks Digital. My podcast isn't on there. And I'm like, what the heck? But his was. So when I went to his, I could see like the line of all the podcasts and then the music. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Remember I said that we assume that it's automatically there, but there's certain hosting platforms that give you the ability to get that. And I think people are not understanding because I said, pissed. I know you were.
You know, I was like, oh, what?
Because I was on Anchor and everybody was like, I have both of them on Anchor. Because I was like, all right, I'll try Anchor. It's free and I need a deal because out here be hard keeping up all these websites, consulting, you know, let's talk about that. And, you know, you're sometimes breaking even or making something. You're like, you know what? I need to get mine too, right? Cut corners.
And that's the thing, right? So, girl. All right. Last question. Moving into podcasting, what would you like our audience to know about podcasting? I want you to get real. You already got real a little bit already, but I want you to give them the real on what you want them to know about podcasting.
It's not easy. It's not just, you know what, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that, and I'm going to have a whole bunch of listeners. That's not the case. I had a conversation with someone and we talked about this consistency. Consistency is the only way. Some people are lucky. I've known people who had these amazing podcasts. Timing, the social, emotional location of where we at, especially with COVID, racial division, the excess of cancel culture. People have this amazing podcast and they name it, let's say, Tulsa 1921 Black Wall Street. 50,000 downloads. Why? Everybody wants to know about something empowering. Tulsa, something that we've been talking about, not really. Now it's out there and people love it. That's not luck. I'm sure that person works very hard on their podcast, but sometimes it's that specific niche that people are waiting for. And that person brings out that content and kudos to them. That's not everyone. That's not everyone.
That's not even a half percent.
That's not even half percent. Correct. Number one, you have to be consistent. Number two, you're not going to make money overnight. I know people who get into it for the money. We're all eventually want to be in it for the money. But if you're only doing it for the money, it's going to be a while. I'm going to tell you that right now. It might not, but it can go either way. Now, one thing that I want to say is too, number three, not every single person that's doing podcasts wants to make it a brand or a business. They don't want to sell courses. They don't want to do subscriptions. They don't want to do workshops. They don't want to do summits. A lot of times I do see the influx of podcasters that are going to make money because guess what? They're doing it anyway. They're giving free advice, free resources. Why not make it a business and make money? But that's not everybody's goal. I know podcasters who do scripted podcasts or audio podcasts or some people that do it for a hobby. So know what you're getting into, number three. Know what you want to do. And because everybody's doing something, that might not be for you. I was one person that I was like, oh my God, here comes another course. Here comes another. That was me. I was that person. Maybe because of me being in school and doing excessive amount of work. And I was like, you know what? It makes sense. If you are teaching people how to, and you're giving information, information is power, and knowledge costs. Hey, it costs me to go to school. If I want to get a research paper from, let's say, Google Scholar or from SearchGate, I have to pay.
Exactly.
So why not? And now that clicked in my head and I was like, oh, I'm over here judging. Hello, I could have been making more money.
Money, yep.
So that's,
but that's
real.
The thing I tell all of my clients, and I tell people in my content just as a whole, we are all mini colleges. We all walk around as mini colleges. We all have information in our head that we could be getting out there and charging someone to access, right? It shouldn't be just major institutions that they have the honor of doing that. Your expertise, your story, the things that you've lived through, all of that can be, and I hate to say it can be monetized, but to a certain extent, it can be monetized. And it should be in some instances. I've had women that have given their hearts and their souls and their stories to major companies. Guess what those major companies do?
They
take
use it,
make money. And that's, so we have to stand up and go, hey, no, you want my story? Or you want my insight? Or you need help speaking to this community? That'll be.
And that's what I wanted to say. That should be number one, but that was number three for me, because I have a creative mindset, and that's what I like to do. I like to create content. I like to think of different ideas. I like to structure the ideas. I want to execute them. You have to be consistent. You have to understand that your journey is not everybody's, number two. And number three, you have to make money. And that's up to you where you're at and what you're comfortable with doing so. And I was always thinking like, oh, you know, I don't know. And it's like, no, you have to understand that someone else is going to do it that knows less than you, that has not had a journey like yours, or that knows more than you, has more money than you, and is going to do it anyway to make more money. So that's what I learned. And it was a hard lesson. And not that I was judging anybody here, you know, when I said about, oh, here goes another course. It's just that we talked about that earlier, about how sometimes it all depends what intent and what love you do things with. I had this conversation with people with, when it comes to intellectual property, there's a lot of different conversation segues. Oh, I want to own this. I want to own that. And I came up with something that I thought you have to have intentional purpose. That's IP, intentional purpose to team up with somebody. You're not going to always own 100% of everything you do. But if you do want to partner with people, make sure it's an intentional partnership, intentional purpose that you are working with this person. Because I hear constant times, especially in the podcasting space and things like that, you want to collaborate, but do you really? People say that, but do you really? Because collaboration takes equity at times. And are you willing to be equitable to that intentional purpose or intentional partnership that you're creating?
Or that's that whole 50-50 partnership, and you look back and you're like, wait a minute, I done did 75 and you ain't did nowhere near 25.
Exactly. That's the other case. Holding people accountable. So, you know, make sure that you're consistent. Make sure that you understand your journey is not going to be everybody else's. And number three, like I was saying, you know, if you are able to monetize or use the type of content and your knowledge to make money, go ahead and do it. Don't wait and look at other people and judge. And, you know, I was there at times. I was like, man, I'm looking at certain things. And I saw how brave some women that never podcasted before, never did anything, started out. And I'm sitting there with all this knowledge, all these different types of experiences, speaking to people. I was in on the Love Zone. We were doing things with back in the day with BB Kings, and we were doing stuff with Living Social, even stuff with like, that's not, they don't even exist no more. And we were doing stuff with Audible when they were doing downloads. And I'm here still, okay, what am I doing? Get out of your way. Get out of your way. And I think that was the biggest thing of me hiding behind doing the operations and, you know, being okay with making some money here and there. I said, okay, I got to start from scratch. I might not be making money right now, but now I am getting to that point that I'm starting to see it, because I just came out of the woodwork and said, I'm here. And I would say that to podcasters, get out of your way and just remember that your voice is valuable and what you experience has a lot to do with helping people too. And I think that's a very important
feeling
thing.
Feeling worthy of being paid, feeling worthy of the value that you put out there, that you'll get everything in return of what you put out there, right? So I think that's another thing that we don't talk about a lot.
We feel guilty. I think also too, we feel guilty about charging, like, oh, you know what? You know,
exactly.
Maybe you can't. They don't feel guilty taking our money. And that's the real thing. And I do believe that that is a thing with a lot of people in podcasting. They're scared because I've been there too. Hey, you know what? If I probably wouldn't been in the journey of social work, I'm not sure if I probably would have came up with my podcast. I don't know what would have happened, but I know that I'm happy the way that things happen because now, you know, we're working on different memberships. We're learning how to do these things, making do a 501c3. There's a lot of planning that I'm doing. That's another thing. You have to have patience for planning and executing and strategizing. Like you told me, you know, you gave me a great tip. Shout out to you for sharing about something that I could do to make my optimization for my community easier for me. That all takes time. So if that takes time for you to build up, that costs money. Money is time.
And you're worthy of it and you deserve it. I mean, if we can say any last things, it would be you deserve it.
I deserve it. You deserve it. Girl, I know.
Like I'm telling you, you deserve
it. Because I've been there. Sometimes I'm like, oh, but you know, even though when I started my consulting, I was charging at a certain rate. And then I did. And I was like, you know what? I've had some people and they were paying it. And they were like, you know what? It was worth so much more. And this and this. And then I'm like, oh, wow. Why am I surprised that they would say that? Why? Because I wasn't 100% invested in me and I was scared and fear. And I will tell you that don't be scared. And everything I said, like I told you, your journey is different than anybody else. You cannot measure your success on what somebody else is doing. Because when you are pivoting to the next thing that's not truly in your heart, people could see that.
That is facts. Okay. Denise, tell everyone where they can find you and how they can connect with you. Of course, they can find you in Alexa, but where else can they find you?
You're so sweet. Thank you. I am on Instagram. I'm at Denise Duran 82. I'm also at Podcasters of New Jersey on Instagram and Facebook group Podcasters of New Jersey. I am also at PodCypher on Instagram and at Podcasters Unlimited Network. I have a podcast network with Ann Smith and myself. We have 5 shows. We have Podcasters Unlimited, which is our flagship how-to show, PodCypher, where we talk about social justice, current events, and pop culture with different podcasters, only podcasters. And we also have 3 other shows. We have Redefine Print with Detravius Bethia. He is a business lawyer, entrepreneur, professor, and he talks about the fine print of everything in your life. We also have Jelani Wass. He's host of Dissecting Your Perspective, which he dissects different people's perspectives, and they talk about a variety of crazy things. It's an interesting conversation. And we also have Poetry Globe, which was a TV pilot that we actually turned into a 4-part series of interviews with poets and different authors within the genre of poetry. So we have those shows and we're there. And then you know what? You gotta tell people where you at, because that's something I'm trying to get better at, because I'm so busy creating, doing things. I need to put myself out there and say, hey, this is what I'm doing, because if they don't know, they don't know. So that's where you can find me, girl.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on, and I appreciate you. And I know you got a role. So thank you so much for coming on.
I appreciate you. Thank you for thinking of me.